If not, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to look at a couple verses in chapter 2 and chapter 3 as well, 2 Timothy. But notice if you would in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and beginning verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Let me stop right there and say this. There's a lot of words, a lot of things we put into our minds, a lot of things we put into our hearts that are of no profit. They mean nothing in light of eternity. The Bible says in verse 15, and this is where I'm going to preach from tonight, study to show who? Thyself approved unto who? Not men, but God. In other words, if you don't study, God's the one that's doing the approving. So you study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen. Not me, not someone else, but God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's important that you learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? Because in the latter days, a lot of error is going to be here. It is here. A lot of false teachers are going to be here. If we know anything about the last days, the Bible teaches that there's going to be a lot of false teachings and doctrines, seducing spirits. Look on down, if you would, in chapter 3, and I'll pick up there. It said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, if I didn't know that we were living in the last days, and by the way, the last days began when Jesus left, when he promised he would return, anyone living in those days are living in the last days. But the latter end of the last days, there are some things that we will be noticing different. It says that perilous times shall come, dangerous times. Verse 2, notice these. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And can I stop right there and back up just a couple? Sometimes we have children in our school. We want to see every child successful. We won't see every child finish. Most generally, the key to seeing a child finish the school and being successful is this: their parents. If they have not been taught to obey their parents, they're not going to do much obeying to us. And the older they get, the harder it is. And there's many times people say, well, why do you go an extra mile? Because I don't always just blame just a child. It's hard to save a child from their parents. But parents, God commands you to teach and to make your children obey and to love them. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long upon the face of the earth. Amen. You say, boy, I'd like to live a long time. Well, God promised you would if you obey your parents. Did you know that? The first commandment with promise. If you don't believe that, read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. But look on. He goes on, he says, verse 3, without natural affection, truce makers, false accusers, incontinent. Incontinent meaning not having any self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady. Heady means to be ungovernable. High-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And by the way, you notice how all this group is acting now because they didn't get their way in the election. And I've said this before, I'll just say this. No, none of them hates it, this election, more than I've hated the last two. But I didn't behave myself that way when I lost the election. Some of them has no control. They hate to be governor. They hate to be told. They want to do whatever they want to do. Go on. It says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Don't have to go far to figure that out. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Look on down, if you would. I want to skip on down in verse number 12 and pick up there just a moment. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me say this. I preached a message here one time, and I entitled this, there is no painless way of serving God. If you serve God, it's going to cost you something. And so if you think that you can serve God in the right way and it not cost you something, you're fooling yourself. The Bible says, yea, all who shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In other words, it's going to cost you something if you do. On down, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, we don't need to be troubled. The fact that we see things getting worse and people getting worse, it's going to happen. But notice the next verse in chapter 14, or verse 14. But continue. All the bad things that we've got to deal with, but continue. Thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Tonight, I want to deal with why it's important to study the Word of God. Not only are we approved unto God, but sometimes people say, well, preacher, do you really believe everything in the Bible? Let me share a couple things with you, and then I'll close this all up real quickly. I believe that there is perfection in the Scriptures. I believe the Bible. I believe the King James Bible is for the English-speaking people. Amen. Now, if you don't believe that, then what I would challenge you to do is find some good books, historical books, and read the history of the King James Bible, the translation, and the translation for these modern English Bibles. Read which texts they used, where they came from, who was involved, and what went on, and when they came and why they came. And I think you will be on the same side I am. But this Bible that I hold in my hands was written over a 1,500-year period. This Bible had over 40 authors. They came from every area of life, from kings to peasants, from fishermen to farmers, to shepherds, all kinds of people. Not only that, from many places, different times, people going through all kinds of issues in their lives, three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Languages, they were written in Hebrew, Greek, and Arabic. The styles of the writing was all different. Some poetry, some history, some biography, some law, some prophecy, some parables, addresses thousands of solutions in life that we have and that we face. I've often said this, if you can't find it in the Bible, it's not important. But if you've got a problem in life, I guarantee you, you'll find the solution in the Bible if you'll look and study long enough and hard enough. Not only that, but also we find that even though it has all this diversity in it, it has one general story. It has one main character, God. He is revealed to us. Somebody said, no man has seen God, but he revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Those of us who have seen the Son, we've seen the Father. If you know the Son, you know the Father. And so it's important to understand that the Word of God is important for us. Look at the process of which the Bible was written. It was written by revelation. Angels would come. Sometimes God would speak in his audible voice. Sometimes he'd speak through visions. Sometimes he'd speak through dreams. Sometimes he spoke through animals. Sometimes he spoke through nature. As we read this morning, there was a time if the people hadn't shouted, the Bible said the rocks would have shouted out and declared, rejoice for the Lord. Not only that, but sometimes even a hand would appear on the wall and write. All kinds of ways in which God got his word across. Not only that, but also the Bible says here, as we read in verse 16 of chapter 3, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Inspiration means it's God breathed. And therefore, when God has breathed it, that means that the Bible, when it declares something, it is truth. Because God has breathed upon people. And so when you look, the Bible teaches us that he illuminated men. The Bible said that he spoke through holy men of old by his Holy Ghost. And he illuminated them. When you look at the Bible, somebody said, how do you know that you can believe the Bible? Look at the proofs of the Bible, the historical, the architectural proofs. Time and time and time again, they have found things that they thought was fabrications in the Bible, but yet they would find proofs through archaeologists' finds and digs that proved that the Bible was true. Scientific test has proven it to be true. Prophetic test, how many prophecies did it proclaim? Even about Jesus, where he would be born, how he would be born, what he would do, how he would die, who he would die with, all these things, how he would be sold, all those things written hundreds of years before. Amen. Even Cyrus in Isaiah chapter 45, Cyrus, 200 years before he's ever born, God named him by name, told exactly what he would do, told how he would do it in Babylon, how he would take the city of Babylon, all because prophetically, the word of God is true. Amen. Everything that God has yet to do, I believe will come true. Amen. Not only that, but the unity test that you put to the Bible. All of it, though it's written in so far distances apart, all of it fits together perfectly with no contradictions. Somebody said, well, I know where a contradiction is. No, you just haven't studied the Bible long enough and hard enough. The honesty test, it always passes that. What's the product of having a Bible that has been inspired by the Holy Ghost of God? One, it's infallible. You understand what that means? It can't fail. Now there's other people that claims, the Pope claims to be infallible, but he's a liar. Listen, there is no other source than infallible. Some of these news networks claim to be infallible. They're liars too. Man cannot be infallible. But because the word of God is God-breathed, it makes this thing infallible. It makes it inerrant, without errors. Therefore, we can have confidence in it. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that it's a perfect, complete word of God. Somebody said, well, preacher, God give me a new revelation through a dream. I don't believe that. I believe that everything God spoke. Now, if you'll study the history of the churches in Revelation, you'll find only one speaks of the apostles. That's the first church age, the church age of Ephesus. And you'll find when you study what apostles were men that had seen Jesus personally and had gotten commissioned from Jesus personally. They were given a power that nobody else had. And I know there are people running all around this nation today trying to make big money for themselves, claiming to have all these powers of God. But listen, the apostles had unique powers. They were instrumental in writing the word of God, but until the word of God was complete, God used those men through signs and miracles to convince the people that they were sent of God. They had the ability not only to heal the sick, to cast out devils, they had the ability to raise the dead. Sometimes just walking by in their shadow would heal people. And I know that there's people claiming to have prophetic powers, but you will not find that carried on in the Bible. Right now, we are people that believes by faith. We do not believe by sight. You remember what Jesus told Thomas? He said, "Thomas, you believe because you've seen." He said, "But there'll be some that will come after you that will believe and have not seen." And that's what we are. We are children of faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. The things that we have today is given to us here. Does that mean that God can't move upon our heart and stir our heart about a thought? Absolutely not. He can speak to us. Does that mean he might not speak to us about dreams, about something in our life? No, he might very well do that. But what I'm saying is there is no new revelation given. The word of God is complete. From Genesis to Revelation, when he finished it, the book was finished. Amen. We know everything that God wants us to know through this book right now. It is complete. So when we study it, we don't have to look for new revelations. We don't have to look for a new book like the Mormons to add another book onto the revelation in which we have. The Bible teaches there'll be no such thing as that. When God finished it, it is perfect. Amen. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. The perfect word of God has come to us through the writing inspiration of God. We no longer need signs of miracles to convince people. We preach the word of God. If people are saved, they're saved by believing the word of God. They're not saved because we do some miracle in their sight. The next miracle worker is going to come. It's going to be a false prophet with the Antichrist. And he's going to cause fire to come down from heaven. He's going to do great miracles before people, and they're going to fall tooth and nail for it. And they're going to believe a lie, and they're going to surrender unto him when they do that. But we have the word of God, the purpose of these scriptures. Revelation, it reveals God, who God is. You know, there's a lot of people running around, and you see a lot of these, you boys, you'll see a lot of your athletes claiming to worship God. All they'll talk about, I want to thank God. But yet you watch your life real careful. I'll tell you how you know whether they got God or not. See what they've done with Christ Jesus. Amen. They don't have Christ, they don't have God. They may claim to have God, and they may claim to have some form of God, but you can't know God apart from the Scriptures. The Word of God, he says, search the Scriptures, they teach of me. And if you want to learn about God, you got to get it in the Bible. If you don't study the Bible, you're not going to find out who God is. I'm afraid there's a lot of people going to go to hell today because they're trusting in their what they have put God into. They have fit him in their box, in their idea, and they want him to be what they want him to be, not what he truly is. You better get in the Bible and find out what he is before you stand before him. And the reason why that's important is because this, the Bible says, in that day, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, we not prophesy in thy name, we not cast out devils, do many wonderful works. And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Did you get that? He said, in that day, there's going to be a whole lot of people that run around here prophesying that's going to die and go to hell. There's going to be a whole lot of people running around here casting out devils that's going to die and go to hell. There's going to be a whole lot of people running around here doing all kinds of wonderful works and claiming to do all these miracles, and they're going to die and go to hell. Why? He said, I didn't even know you. Because the God that you try to represent is not the God. And listen, those people who are self-promoting and they're making themselves rich, the Bible says we're not to do it for filthy lucre. Money is not to be the object behind it. And the funny thing is they don't ever say, take your tithes and go into the house of God. They'll say, send your tithes to me. Did you ever notice that? And so, therefore, you better be careful. Not only does it reveal God's person, it reveals God's power. It reveals his promises, and it reveals the plan of God. I don't get excited when I see things changing. He's done told me it's going to change. Right. You say, man, I don't know what's going on. Look at how everybody is. Look how it's acting. Look how things are changing. I don't know what in the world's going on. I do. The plan of God is going on. You better get in a book and understand what the plan is. When you understand the plan, it doesn't come as a surprise. Amen? And I thank God that he revealed and he let us in a little bit. Something else this Bible does, it teaches us about redemption. It teaches us about that we are wicked sinners. Somebody say, I don't like to be called wicked. You know, there's churches that have taken any phrase of the blood out of their song books. Did you know that one song that says, such a worm as I? They took that worm, they took those words out. Any of them that cast us as sinners, condemned sinners, depraved sinners, they take it out. You know why they take it out? They don't like to be told they're sinners. Let me let you know a secret. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. And there's nothing good in none of us apart from the grace of God. We are what we are by God's grace. Amen. You know where I found that out? The Word of God. It taught me that if I was left to myself, I would be hopeless. And therefore, I deserved hell. And the more I get to know about myself through the Word of God, the more I agree with God. Absolutely, I deserve it. And even listen, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I deserved it before I got saved. And even after I've been saved, and I take a good look at myself, I still deserve it. But thank God for his mercy and his grace. But it's through the Word of God that I found myself. Therefore, not only that, I also found that there's the wrath of a sovereign God. Listen, God is not Santa Claus. He's not some old man upstairs. He's not some a genie that you rub a bottle or you say a quick prayer and he's going to give you what you want. God is sovereign. He is over the heaven and the earth. It's not your way with God. It's God's way with you. And if you're going to find the way, you're going to find it through God's way. That's why Jesus said, without exception, he didn't apologize to all the worshipers over in Islam. He didn't apologize to all those worshiping Buddha. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you want to come to Father, you come through Christ. Amen. I saw one of the popular evangelists or pastors of one of these big old mega churches one time on TV, and they put him on the spot. They said, you believe Jesus is the only way to be saved? And boy, he hollered around. He stumbled all over his tongue. Then he said, well, I believe people are sincere. Well, that's a lie. One way. You come through Jesus, you don't go. Amen. And so therefore, otherwise, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. When you get into the book, you'll find the wrath of God. Somebody said, I'm not afraid of nothing. Well, I am. I'm afraid of God. But look here. I'm not afraid of what man can do to me, but I am afraid of God. The Bible says fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. Not only that, but also I not only find the wrath of God, but I find the worth of a soul. Jesus put it this way. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit man? He should gain the whole world and in the end lose his soul. Did you know that person sitting right beside of you? Did you know that that child of yours, the most important thing there is about that child is that soul gets saved. There is nothing more valuable. Somebody said, oh, I want to make sure my kids has the tennis shoes that everybody else has. Oh, I sure want them to wear. I want them to fit in. Oh, I just want, you know, the only thing I wanted for my two children? To be saved. If they are saved and know the Lord, for I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. I don't care what they do for a living. I thank God they've had good jobs and they found good things to do. And I thank God they work. Amen. But look here. Both of them had to go out and find jobs when they were 13. Summertime, instead of them letting them run around, getting mess, I found a job for them to do. They earned some money. And now they're out. And I'm glad that Ruth didn't have to sit around wondering if her old lazy husband had some guy come the other day going to put his child in school. And he said, I just want to know how much it is. He used to come here. He wouldn't lift a finger at nothing. His dad wouldn't either. He'd be on a job, off the job. He'd come here. And so He said, just want to see how much it was. And he come over to me. I was asking him a couple questions. Oh, yeah, we can afford it now. She's got a good job. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I've had some problems for a while. I said, how long? A couple years now. I said, there's no pride in that. I said, you understand, she'll never have any respect for you if you want to sit around home and expect her to raise your child and go out and work and earn the money and everything else. I said, y'all have enough pride in yourself to make something of yourself. Our conversation didn't last long, but he had some things he had to go do. But the truth of the matter is this. The biggest thing I want for my children is this. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care if they were picking trash up alongside the road. If they knew Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Amen. The worth of the soul is the greatest gift I could give them. Not only that, but also the way of salvation, as I've talked about. But let me say this. The Bible says here, if you read on down verse 16 and 17, it helps us build standards in our life. It also helps us by using symbols, let us see what the Word of God means to us. The Bible says the Word of God's a mirror. You don't know what you look like? Look in the Bible. Somebody said one time, I had an aunt, and some people here would know who I'm talking about. I actually had two aunts that was at the same service one time when I preached. And both of them kind of bad to talk a little bit, but one of them's real bad to talk about everybody else. And one time I preached, I preached and I was using an example, and to be honest with you, I was using her. And so when she walked out, she said this, she called my other aunt by name. She said, boy, I'm sure glad she's here today. I'm sure glad she got to hear what you said. You said exactly what she needed to hear. But you know, can I let you know a secret? The Word of God, when you look into it, is not to make you look at them. It's to make you look at yourself. Amen. It's a mirror. It's also called a hammer. It's also called a seed. It's called bread. It's called honey. It's called water. It's things that we need in our life. And so when we look at the Word of God, it's called the sword. When we need to fight something and we need to go against, we use it as a sword. And so we can find many different things that it's used for. What profit is it? It gives us saving faith. The Bible says in verse 15 that the Holy Scriptures in chapter 3, which are able to make me wise unto salvation through faith. Through Scriptures is where our faith came from. It gives us serving faith as well. When we study, we're able to rightly divide the Word of God. It helps us to fight. So tonight, let me just say this. What should we do with the Word of God? We need to give it a place inside of our heart. We need to know it. We need to place it there. Somebody said, what scripture do you take with you here? Which I try to memorize scriptures. Sometimes over in school, some of the kids say, oh, why do we have to memorize that scripture? Doris all the time is getting after someone. She says, if you don't do your Bible verse, you can't do this. You got to have your Bible verse. They say, oh, wow. It's because you get the Word of God in your heart. That's where you need to put the Word of God because it's that valuable. Not only that, but also it's a place of honor. You always give the Bible the place of honor. Listen, young people, look, can I tell you something? You treat your Bibles with respect. You understand? You say, well, they're just pages, pieces of paper and books. No, they're the Bible. Once they get the Word of God printed upon it and closed in, they're a Bible. And you show them respect. Not only that, you give it a place of trust. Can I tell you? Thy word is truth. The truth will set you free.
Amen.
If you walk around this world listening, trying to find truth, you'll never find it. But if you get convinced that this is the truth, that's why the Bible says we study it to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, we know. And last but not least, we give it a place of love. We need to love the Word of God. Now listen to me very carefully. The reason why I want you to understand this is because as these days get closer and closer, there's things going to get worse and worse.
That's right.
And the only hope we have is the Word of God.
Amen.
And can I say this, and I'll close, I promise. Right now, Kentucky, through our governor, and I talked to one of the state representatives yesterday about this very thing. Kentucky, as we found out when we went the other day for Christians on the Capitol, Kentucky is being looked at all around the nation for some of the laws that's passing right now. And we have changed our government. And several pastors have been voted in to positions. And they are passing bills right now that's going to be challenged. But the same thing, God is changing the nation. And so I hope and pray that through things that we do and are instrumental in, that we can save some more babies' lives. And we can do other things that need to be done. And so pray for that. But the whole key is that we have confidence and trust in the Word of God. If you ever lose your confidence in the Bible, you'll be like a ship with no anchor. You'll be tossed by every wind of doctrine that comes at you. Study it to show yourself approved unto God, a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's stand tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, the Bible is still the book for me.